Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
I had sort of very intense private crushes on people, in junior high and then my first 2 years in high school. And I think he just arrived my junior year. And I think there was some part of me that was like, this is great. You know, like, there's no chance with this guy.
From Purex and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. Today, the first installment of our three-part series, Forbidden Crushes. Now, just about every kid in the course of growing up develops at least a crush or two. In fact, if you walk the halls of most schools on any given day, you'd find yourself surrounded by hormonal adolescents constantly sneaking glances at one another. But we're not talking about those crushes. No, for the next three episodes, we're sharing a trilogy of teenagers whose epic obsessions of the heart were, for one reason or another, completely off limits. Our first story features the diaries of Siobhan O'Malley. In high school, she fell for that one guy that could get her in the most trouble. Not because he was a bad boy, but because he was the one who gave out detention.
You're not supposed to have a huge crush on your vice principal. You know, it feels like exciting.
Yes, her vice was her vice principal. Here's Siobhan on stage at, ironically, a club also called Littlefields in New York City.
Started my junior year, I think I decided to pine after someone who is completely unavailable and unattainable and thus protect myself from being heartbroken. So it just so happened that year we happened to get a new vice principal at our school. September 6th, grade B+. Today is the first day of school. I'm not really nervous. A little excited. God, can't tell if I'm excited for school or not. I am, but I'm not. September 13th, grade A-. This morning I go, hi, Mr. Littlefield, and he waves and smiles and goes, good morning. I think I love him. And then Colleen and I go out to dinner, and guess who was outside? Mr. Littlefield. He totally remembered me. I was like, hi, Mr. Littlefield. And he said, hi. And I go, how are you? And he said, good, with a big smile on his face. Ha! He was with his wife and kids. September 1st, grade A-. Hello, this is a gal speaking who has her license. Wow. Mrs. Aronson had to sign this thing for me, and she was standing with Mr. Littlefield, and I asked her to sign it, and she didn't have a pen, and he goes, I always loan pens to people from the cross-country team. History, we watched a video on the Underground Railroad. It was sad. November 2nd. Grade A-. Get this, Becca asked me if the junior class won the canned food drive at homecoming, if I'd be willing to get up at the homecoming assembly and have Mr. Littlefield sing me a song and give me a rose. Each class is assigned an administrator, and if they win the canned food drive, they can do whatever they want to that administrator at the homecoming assembly. Okay, there's a few things in this piece where it's like, I don't know where the school board was, but anyway. Ah, we must win. I will steal cans from other classes if necessary. P.S. Notice not one fucking mention of Steve. No need to. I like someone else. November 8th, grade B/B+. I walked by Mr. Littlefield's room and he's sitting at his desk. So I just barge in and I ask if he'd like some of my baking. He said he didn't want to eat pie at 9 a.m, but would have it later. On the way to health, Mr. Littlefield was standing in the hallway. Him. Hey, Siobhan, thanks for the pie. Me. Oh, you're welcome. Did you like it? Him. It was great. It made my day. During the whole conversation, he held my hand. Ah! November 20th, grade, ? God, I really think we're going to win the canned food, canned food drive. It's so exciting. Today I'll have to drive by Mr. Littlefield's house to see if he is there. What if he's playing ball with his kids in his front yard and he looks over and I get scared, so I duck, and in the process of ducking, I slowly swerve onto the wrong side of the street and crash into a Mack truck and my car is smashed. And Mr. Littlefield would just be like, why did you drive by my house ducking? Are you stalking me? And in my bloody embarrassment, I would giggle, turn red, and die knowing that Mr. Littlefield thought I was insane. Of course, I could just not drive by his house, period. November 24th, grade, very up and down, but on average, B+. Disregard all the negative and accentuate the fucking positive. I had a great day. I had a great day. I got up telling myself to stop liking Mr. Littlefield for myself. I owe it to myself, etc. I kept saying how I should think with my head from now on and not my heart. Well, fuck that. Today we had the homecoming assembly and we won the canned food drive. I sat in an orange chair near the class officers and all the soccer nice people. First they announced all the football team and then I got introduced with something like, we all knew Mr. Littlefield would be loved by the student body, but he is most loved by Siobhan O'Malley. And then Kent and Dave pushed my rolly chair out to the center of the gym, and Lydia escorted Mr. Littlefield out while Amber threw confetti. And then the song, I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston, came on. He got down on one knee and held my hand and had to lip sync. During the song, Mr. Littlefield said twice, did you plan this whole thing? And I said, no, I didn't. Someone asked me. And then he also said twice, this is the longest song ever. And then he stood up and so did I. And he gave me 2 long stem roses and we bowed to each other. That night at the homecoming dance, Mr. Littlefield takes my hand and says, hello. I asked him if he had fun today. And he said, yes, whenever I hear that song, I'll think of you. Can you believe it? I love him so much. December 18th, grade A-. I found out on Thursday that Mr. Littlefield speaks Swahili. God. Okay, he went backpacking in Alaska with 2 Swahilian men and picked it up. Isn't he just great? So I asked Mwangi, the one Kenyan in my high school, I asked Mwangi how to say, I want to make a fire in Swahili. Mwangi wrote it down for me. Ninataka Kwanza Moto. It was time for the dance. I wore my overalls, my J. Crew ribbed tee, and hiking boots. The dance was a quarter formal, and I had this hillbilly outfit on. So I come in and go, I didn't know people were actually going to dress up for this. Mr. Littlefield was standing at the door. I hadn't said hi nor looked at Mr. Littlefield yet. I was almost past him when he goes, hi, Siobhan. And I turned around and say, oh, Ninataka Kwanza Moto. He said something back to me in Swahili. And And I go, someone told me you speak Swahili, so Mwangi, you know Mwangi? He taught me how to say something in it. And he asked me to repeat it. And he was like, moto, that means heat or warmth. And everyone around us was like, Siobhan. And I go, no, no, no. And then I thought, uh-oh, what if Mwangi told me something really bad? Mr. Littlefield kept trying to translate. He goes, Taka, that's a bad word, isn't it? No, no, it's not. So finally I told him it meant I want to make a fire. Oh, everybody was slightly puzzled by my random statement. Well, that's great, Mr. Littlefield said. When I go to Kenya, I can use it. It'll come in very handy. So sweet. January 8th, grade B+. Oh, Betsy, my guinea pig, had her babies yesterday. Three. I named them after Mr. Littlefield. Tabby, since they were born in the snow, after Toboggan. And Moira, after Moira Kelly in The Cutting Edge. They're very cute. January 11th, grade B plus slash A minus. Yesterday, Mr. Littlefield came in with this huge bandage on his face. Supposedly, it's a sledding accident. On the way to lunch, I bumped into him. I'll give a reasonable facsimile of the conversation. Me. Hey, guess what? My guinea pig had babies. Him. Oh, me. Yeah, and I named one after you. Him. Really? Me. Yeah, and I named the other one Tabby because they were born in a snowstorm and it's short for toboggan. And then I named one Moira just because I like that name. I didn't tell him it was from The Cutting Edge. January 13th, grade B slash B plus. As I walked towards the lunchroom, Mr. Littlefield passed, and I sort of went up to him and danced for him. You feeling okay today, Siobhan? He asked. Yeah, I say. I think I'm starting to frighten him.
I was like, okay, I've named my guinea pig after him. I've baked him a pie. I made him a gingerbread house. You know, I got him to lip sync to me for the homecoming assembly. Like, so I think it was just like, okay, what else can I do? I had to skip classes in order for him to take me out of class and pay attention to me. You know, it was like really like planned out how to skip a class because I didn't know how to do it. How do you skip a class? I don't know. You know, like, how do you get caught? Because I need to get caught.
February 3rd. All day, I eagerly awaited being called out of class by the hunk, so I was a wee bit antsy. Anyway, on the way to lunch, Mr. Littlefield was there, and I took a glance with my peripheral vision and headed toward the bathroom. Siobhan, he calls. I knew it was coming. Here it is, transcribed as accurately as possible. Him, I want to talk to you. Me, a little nervous. Yes? Him, you weren't in Mrs. Harvey's seventh period yesterday. Me, oh, that, well, you see, I'm really scared of heights, and we had to climb the wall in gym, and I hid in the library. Him, did you explain this to Mrs. Harvey? Me, no, I was hiding in the library. Him, him, are you prepared to pay the price? Me, I guess. Him, today or tomorrow? Me, today, I suppose. Him, Siobhan, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Can you withstand that last line? Ah, I was so happy. March 7th, grade B plus. Drama class was good and not good. Mike and I sat at the edge of the stage and Mr. Littlefield comes in. He wasn't smiling. I need to speak to you, he said, interrupting. You skipped a class. Did not. Did too. Did not, I rebutted. He wanted to know where I was in math class, stating, this is becoming a habit with you, Siobhan. So meanly. He was such a jerk. I stated calmly that I was at guidance. He wanted to verify that. Sheesh. So as he left, I cried out deeply in pain. You're all suspicious of me, and now, arg. This is the first time he's ever disappointed me. So every year, our junior class put on a talent show, and I wrote this jokey skit about what really happened to Mr. Littlefield's eye and why it had a patch on it. In a flashback scene, a fictional me confronts... confronts a fictional Mr. Littlefield, and I declare my love for him, and he asks me to leave him alone, and a fictional me tackles him to the ground and starts pummeling his eye. March 19th. Things went well tonight. After the show, I went out to the hall, and Mr. Littlefield is standing there, and the first few buttons of his shirt are undone. Yum. So I say hi, and he completely smiles and holds my hand and says that I stole the show. And I said, the skit was really truthful, huh? And he said he thought that secret was between us. And I said, yeah, I wanted to keep it hush-hush, but I thought people should know. Mr. Littlefield, he was really nice, yeah? He was very, very patient. Mr. Littlefield held my hand and said, I didn't think it could go better tonight, but it did. Can you stand it? My smile must have been 3 miles wide. I was so happy. So this is the last entry in my journal about Mr. Littlefield.
I started a school play, and there was a kid in that play who was a year younger than me, and like I just totally got really into him really fast, and it was just kind of really going to like a full stop with Mr. Littlefield and jumping right onto a new train. I think he definitely could tell that I wasn't sort of coming around his office or whatever, like my traffic patterns clearly changed, but he was probably like, great, like, let me have a break from this girl.
That was Siobhan O'Malley, reading aloud her childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness in New York City at Littlefield's. Now, we caught up with Siobhan in her postmortem, Vied, and asked, in her wildest dreams, what did she want from her forbidden crush?
I don't know. I think, like, maybe I fantasized, like, me and Mr. Littlefield, like, I don't know, going on a date or something. But I don't think I even really let myself get that far. I think it was just, like, an intense feeling because I couldn't really picture what the next step would be.
Still, Siobhan was totally swept up in her infatuation. And unlike most teenagers, she didn't care who knew about it.
I had all these kind of private secret crushes, and then somehow, like within a very short time, like the whole school kind of knew that I liked Mr. Littlefield, and like it was sort of freeing, you know, in some way.
So if the whole school knew, did Mr. Littlefield?
Oh, yes. He totally knew. He totally knew. And it was kind of stopping in his office every day. And, you know, it was just kind of like, oh, here's Siobhan walking by me again, you know, trying to give me a baked good. Like, I was kind of relentless. I think he was really had a huge amount of patience with me, really much more than he should have. He allowed me to keep my crush, but kept himself at a very safe distance. He was just kind.
In retrospect, Siobhan realizes her teenage attempts at flirting with a grown man were ill-advised. Still, she's convinced having a forbidden crush was ultimately a positive.
It made it feel a little bit more fun, a little bit more safe. So, as somebody who was like a little bit tentative or nervous about boys, having that forbidden crush just kind of felt like this kind of fun, safe zone. I didn't necessarily think anything was going to happen with him, but I got to sort of enjoy this sort of fully formed man, you know? And like, there was something that was like kind of great about that.
But this begs the question, what if something did happen? What if the vice principal suddenly reciprocated?
I think I would have run for the hills. I think I would have been so terrified. I didn't have any experience with boys, never mind like a man. I wish I like was that girl who was like, yeah, I would have like totally nailed Mr. Littlefield. And you know what I mean? But like, that was not me. It just wouldn't have happened like the rest of the year, I think.
To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit getmortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. To have your company support this show, email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. Speaking of which, this show is a proud member of Radiotopia from PureX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Pierce Priscelli, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Katcher. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snake, Snake, Snakes. Additional thanks to Lance Roberts Studios, Will Dwyer, Tamar Avishai, Eric Bass, Christina Galante, Stephen Chupaska, John Dorsick, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, We are fragile, and we all survive.